pastor, and you are blessed to have him here. He is a servant of God, and thank you so much for coming tonight to bless him. And I mean what I just said. You mean a lot to him. He doesn't do these meetings just for himself, although I hope that he gets blessed. I hope he gets encouraged, but he does it because he loves you, and certainly we're happy to be here. We are always happy to be serving the Lord together. Love my two brothers. I'm happy to have not only them, but my dear wife with me tonight, and she's with me everywhere we go. And so she's getting a little sick of me, but she still loves me. And we've been on the road now, it's 17 weeks. We've just passed 20,000 miles, and we have a wonderful marriage. And it's gotten stronger in these years when you're 2 feet apart. When you're 2 feet apart, buddy, you get along. And it's been a blessing. I appreciate it so much. Psalm 26, I'm going to make my message brief, although I have 8 things I want to give you tonight. And I really hope you listen. I'm going to speak fast, a simple subject. Some of the best sermons you'll ever hear are the simple ones. And that, I'm not suggesting mine's going to be one of those, but let me talk to you for a minute. We're going to read the chapter in a moment, and I'm going to give you the key verse in the chapter, then I'm going to give you 8 observations out of that chapter. We'll give them to you this way. About how many here tonight, if you'll give me your attention, how many here tonight really, really need something from the Lord? Would you raise your hand? I mean, listen, this isn't pretend. This isn't Mickey Mouse Club. We're not looking for a happy feeling. I mean, down in your heart, you need God to touch your heart. There's some needs in this room tonight. There's some broken hearts in this room tonight. See, how do you know? You don't gather a group like this and not have some broken hearts. There's some people tonight looking at a mountain that you have no idea how you're going to get through it. And God has the faith for you. And he's offering it to you tonight. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as the pastor's already prayed, and thank you for that prayer from Brother White. And Lord God, we're asking now that you'd visit your people. Lord, I do not know if there's a guest here tonight, someone who's maybe never been in a revival meeting. It might be their first time in a special meeting on a Monday night. But I would pray that God, not just this message, but the one to follow, and maybe the messages that are preached through song and in between as the pastor speaks, God, that you do something special for every person in this room. I want to pray the same for the nursery workers, those in the lobby and the parking lot and the security team. God, we ask you for the Loomis Park Baptist Church. We're a little selfish about it tonight, Lord. We want this church to be revived. God, we're asking you in the name of Jesus that you do something very special in this place. And so, God, we're going to wait on you and ask you, God, that you do for us what we must have done. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm chapter 26, I'm going to read the chapter, and then I'm going to point out the key verse. By the way, every chapter of the Bible has a key verse. You can mark that down. The Bible is a book you can understand. And so we're going to understand it tonight in Psalm 26. The psalmist David says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." I want you to read verse 2 with me out loud because that is the key verse. Would you read it with me? Verse 2, here we go. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Allow me to keep reading. "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evil doers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." I've already pointed out the key verse, verse number 2. There are 3 key words that give to us the subject of the chapter. Let's notice them. First, the word examine. The next word is a synonym thought, prove. And then another synonym thought, try. Examine, prove, and try. David is giving us a chapter. where he is urging us to exercise self-examination. Let me ask you a hypothetical question. When David, who by the way wrote this chapter, wrote most of the Psalms, when David went that morning, eyes up here please, look at me, listen to me please. When David went on that rooftop that afternoon and saw that woman bathing. Now isn't it ironic her name was Bathsheba? Just to me, it's kind of one of the oddities of the Bible, Bathsheba. And all kidding aside, he views her or spies her washing herself on a housetop. It wasn't unusual for people to go on top of their houses. It wasn't this kind of house. It was a flat roof, and he's up there walking up top of his palace, and she's bathing, and he sees her. And my father told me one time, he said, it wasn't the sin that he saw her. It was the sin that he looked again. And he continued to look. And soon after he began to have burning lust in his heart, he sent for her. He committed adultery with her. She conceived and was with child. He sent her home, called her husband home from battle, told Joab to have him killed. He basically had Uriah the Hittite executed, then brought to himself that murdered warrior's wife, widow, as it was, and she came to him, became his wife, that child God took in death. Let me ask you a question. Do you think maybe if David had got up that morning and thought a little bit about his own life, if he'd have just stopped and just looked a little bit introspectively at himself. Look at me, listen to me. If he'd have just kind of looked inside, do you really think that he'd have done what he did? Absolutely not. Let me ask you this. You remember when Brother Peter, that great apostle who loved the Lord, he, by the way, in the Garden of Gethsemane, stood up for the Lord. He said, I would die for you. He pulled out a sword and cut off the servant of Malchus's ear. He was going for the neck. The man meant business. He was a warrior for God, Peter was, a great man. We know Peter, almost everything Jesus said to Peter was a rebuke. Everything Jesus said was recorded to Peter was a rebuke, but nevertheless, Peter loved the Lord. Jesus told him, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter was a great man. But Peter, it's interesting to me, Peter was the only disciple, the only one at the Passion of Christ that was questioned about his allegiance. Nobody questioned John. Everybody knew where John stood, but somebody said, aren't you one of those people that followed Jesus? Aren't you a Galilean? Aren't you one of those? He's the only one that was questioned about his loyalty. And three times he denied Christ. He heard the cock crow, and the Bible in the Luke's gospel says that Jesus looked at him. Would you just for a minute consider if Peter had got up that morning instead of sleeping at the gate at Gethsemane, if he'd have just done a little introspection, perhaps maybe he wouldn't have denied the Lord not once, twice, but thrice? And I could go on and on. How about Iodas and Syntyche? How many know those two names? They're not well recorded in the Bible. The Bible has their names in there and they're rebuked. Quit fussing! And today in heaven, those two women look at each other and say, what was wrong with us? Our names are forever in the book. And it recorded us as fussing. If they'd have got up that day and said, maybe we should stop fussing. I'm saying there's great value in self-examination. Every person in this church, listen to me, you're in a revival meeting. And you start off with this, God, put the light on me. God, put the light on me. I wake up every morning of my life, I look in the mirror, and I'm amazed at how handsome I am, but then I realize how absolutely atrocious my nature is. There's not a good thing in me, Buster. Not a good thing in my nature. I'm as rotten as they come. I've got the potential to do the most awful, wicked. Listen to me, don't you think for a minute that you float when you walk. You've got feet of clay. Every one of us need to take a careful examination of our own lives on a regular basis. And David outlines for us areas of self-examination that we need to take a look into. How many here tonight remember Lance Armstrong? Raise your hand if you remember Lance. Know of him. In 2001, Lance Armstrong was awarded a great, huge contract with Nike. He became a spokesman for anti-drugging athletics, and he was the spokesman, the poster child, if you will, of a man that accomplished great. He actually won 7 Tour de France victories, and the guy was incredibly. He suffered cancer, defeated cancer, won over cancer in his body, and then in 2006, Nike reneged on their contract. They said that they had evidence that he was doping, and Lance Armstrong said this. He said, "I would never ever do illegal substances because what it would do to my reputation." He said, "All cancer survivors of the earth that have looked to me for courage would be disappointed in me." And he said, not to speak of the millions of dollars that I would lose in endorsements. And in 2006, Lance Armstrong defended himself. But in 2012, it was determined that he was doping and that he was a hypocrite. I wonder if Lance Armstrong, the first time he shot up an illegal drug, if he'd have just stopped and thought about what he was about to do. And thought about the fact that we stand here tonight in September 2017. And listen to me, Lance Armstrong has no reputation whatsoever except for the fact that he was found out to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you what's killing our churches tonight. It's not the liberals in the White House or in the Congress or in the Senate. It's not Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton. It's not anything but the hypocrisy in God's church. I'm telling you, what we need is an old-fashioned return to the mourner's bench where we get right with God and get real with God. We got to stop the hypocrisy in our churches. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. I'm talking about you. I was in the Philippines years ago preaching in Manila, and I'll never forget my wife and I. It's got to be one of the worst flights on earth. We got there, both of our ankles were this big, hers and mine. We felt like elephants. We're walking, flying 18, 19 hours in that plane. It was awful. And we got there, and we got into this high motel, and I remember the light was dark, and a little light over the mirror, you know, and I was brushing my chops, and I went over and I reached over here, and there was a mirror right here, and I didn't know, but it had a light on, and I pulled it close to me. It was one of those telescopic mirrors, and I turned it on, and it was magnified. Ah! Man, 18 hours in a flight, elephant ankles. I'm telling you, I look like 7 Mile of Mud Road, and man, I saw what I am. You know what we need in this revival meeting? We need to see what we are. Examine me, examine me. So let's get in gear. Let's see what God shows us, what we're supposed to take a look at. And while you're considering that, jot the scripture down, James chapter 1. You want a good poke in the eye as a Christian and get some things straightened out. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Oh, read those verses tonight. Look at me, church. Go home tonight and read James 1, 22 through 25. It'll do something to you. Let's look in our text now, and let's consider some things that we need to examine. First of all, notice verse number 1. It says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." So first of all, we need a self-examination of our walk. But then he identifies the walk, not just our walk, but our walk in integrity. What's the word integrity? The word integrity, by way of synonyms, could be the quality of being honest, or the state of being wholesome, or understood, or positioned. And so what the psalmist is telling us here is we need to take an examination of our honesty in our walk. Listen, church, we don't have time for deceit. And the worst deceit is self-deceit. Yeah. David says, "God, examine me for my integrity." Listen to me, church. I want to tell you right now, every one of us are accountable for what we do with our income. Will a man rob God? You know what we need during this revival meeting? People to get right with God about their pocketbook. Are you being honest with God? You try being not dishonest with your mortgage, your lender. You try being dishonest. Send him only 67% of what you owe. I promise you, you will be evicted and prosecuted. Can I hear an amen? You know what I'm talking about. How many here would go to a gas station and worry about the gallon that you're paying for? Well, it wasn't quite a gallon. I'll tell you right now, if you paid for a gallon of gas and you only got 7/8 of that gallon or half of that gallon, you'd throw a fit, wouldn't you, church? Absolutely. That's a federal crime. You'd go to the pen for that. I'm telling you, we need to look at our honesty. Our honesty. I don't have my phone on me, but I'll tell you something. What's killing us today is we're living dishonest with these things right here.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. True, sir. True.
Bunch of wickedness going on. Look at me. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you better be honest about what you're doing on this stuff. It'll catch you.
Yeah, sure.
It'll catch you. I just heard today our president, of course, he's trying to, by the way, wasn't it wonderful to see the president sitting with a Netanyahu today? Amen. I love it when I see the American flag and the flag of David, the Star of David. I love it. There are people, listen, trying to take that man down. And you know, during World War II, loose lips sink ships. There are people flapping and people listening for anything to take that guy down. You know what's going on? God's people have got to get honest with our conversation and our behavior and how we talk. Yes. Nobody's going to listen to your testimony if you're swearing one time and not swearing another. Yes. We clean up our words. Say amen. Amen, amen church. Amen. Look at me. Stop cussing. Amen. Cut it out. Quit saying words that sound like cussing. Amen. My dad used to call that Christian cussing. And he'd say those are words that sound like cussing, not just quite cussing. But oh, dear Lord, help me to be honest and true in all that I say and all that I do. Give me the courage to do what is right, to bring to the world a glimpse of your light. So he says, first of all, judge me. I need to have a clean and honest walk. But notice next in verse number 3. Is everybody still with me? Say amen. Amen. He said, examine me, prove me, try me. Look at verse 3. He says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. There needs to be self-examination of our motivation. I love this verse. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. You see, that's motivation. Yeah. David says, and then he follows it up with and says, I have walked in thy truth. He's reiterating verse number one. And what he's saying is the motivation for me to be honest is his loving kindness. God's loving kindness. Hey, would you raise your hand and say, God's been good to me? Come on, say it, church. God's been good to me. You know something? I want to check myself out about what's motivating me. And the best motivation for spiritual work, Brother Jim, the greatest motivation of bus workers is love for Jesus. What sends a guy to the mission field and keeps him there and has the right motivation is love for Christ. How many are Sunday school teachers? Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Sunday school teacher, I'll tell you what keeps you doing it right is love for Jesus. Oh yeah, build that class. God help you. If you just teach a class and sit there and don't try to bring in new students and follow up after those kids, shame on you. Listen, you're not there just to puppet a lesson. You're there to help build little lives. Amen. But listen, the motivation is, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so kind to me. Thy loving kindness, the Bible says, is ever before my eyes. And would you think about this? God is walking toward every one of us in goodness and kindness. He's just that way. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He gives goodness and kindness to us. And oh, may God help us tonight get back to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I can't help but serve you because you've been so good to me. Self-examination of motivation. Number 3, look at verses 4 through 5. I've not sat with vain persons. Look up here, please. I was preaching in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. I met a boy named Kyle. Now, Kyle was a little black kid from inner city Indianapolis. And by the way, the best way to fix this race problem going on in our country is run buses and invite everybody, red, white, yellow, black, brown, bring them into the house of God. I said, bring them into the house of God. Get them born again. Get the Spirit of God in them. And guess what? We won't have this racial problem going on in our country. Kyle is evidence of that. He's a little 16-year-old boy, and he's a member. He's saved and baptized in Charity Baptist Church there in Indianapolis. And he was sitting over here. He's about this tall, but when you measure him from the top of his hair, he's this tall. That's the honest truth. Now, Brother Brandenburg, you've got kind of the same haircut, but his grows straight up and squared off at the top. And I'm not kidding, he's got that much hair on top of his head. I said to him, Kyle, man, I could nest a big bird in your hair. Just set that thing. I'm seriously huge. And I put my fingers in it, and he let me, and he felt mine. But anyways, I was talking to Kyle, and I said, Kyle, and he's, and this, please, this is not a criticism of that church, but it bothered me so much, preacher. He sat right here by himself. 16-year-old boy, bus kid, and folks all over the room, but here he sits by himself. Maybe he wanted to be near the preacher, I don't know, but it just bothered me, Pastor. And I sat next to him, you know, and I talked to him, and I said, Kyle, I'm going to ask you, name your five of your best friends right now. Name them. And boy, he didn't hesitate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I said, okay, you're in public school. And I said, do you go to school, all five of those boys? He said, yeah, we're in class every day together. And I said, now, Kyle, I said, I want you to describe to me those five boys and tell me whether they are a good influence or a poor influence. He said, okay. And so I remembered the name of the first boy, and I called his name out. And he said, oh, he's a poor influence. And I said, now tell me how he's a poor influence. This happened 2 weeks ago. He's 16 years old in this church. And he said, well, every day he wants to smoke pot. And he smokes pot. And he said, and that's what he does all the time. I said, all right, Kyle, has he ever offered you pot? He said, yeah, he has. I said, have you ever smoked it with him? He said, a few times, but I decided I'm not going to do it anymore. I said, good boy, that's good. I said, but is he still trying to get you to do it? He said, every time I'm with him, he wants me to do that. I said, all right, let's go to the next one. He said, well, the next ones go together. They're two. They're kind of like the same. And I said, so their names, he gave me their names. And I said, are they a good influence or a poor influence? He said, both of them are poor influences. And I said, well, tell me, what's the influence on you? He said, well, these guys, they smoke pot too, but they also drink beer and wine, anything they can get a hold of. I said, where do they get it? They get it from their dad and from their older brother. And I said, okay. I said, now, have you ever drank beer or wine or any of that with those boys? He said, no, I've never done that. And I have smoked pot with them, but I'm not doing that anymore. And I said, good boy, Kyle. And I said, how about number four? And I named him. He named him. And I said, now, what about that one? And he said, well, he's a poor influence too. And I said, well, how's he a poor influence, Kyle? He said, every day after school, he said, every day on the way home from school, he starts looking at pornography. And he said, every day, all the way home, he's looking at pornography. We go to his house. He's 16 years old, church. 16. And every day, he said, that's what he looks at, pornography. And I said, now, have you ever looked at it with him? He said, I have a few times. But he said, preacher, I'm not looking at it anymore. He said, I'm not looking at it anymore. I said, that's a good boy. I said, so that's four of your friends. And I said, there's one more. I said, tell me about that last friend. He said, well, of all my friends, he's the only one that I guess I could call a good influence. I said, how's come? He said, well, he goes to church and he's always inviting me to go to church with him. He said, it's not my kind of church because I'm trying to get him to come to my church. And so every week we're trying to get each other to go to church. And all that said to say this, afterward I said to him, I said, now, Kyle, what does your dad think about your five friends? And this broke my heart. Without hesitating, he said, oh, my dad doesn't know my friends. My dad's been in jail for years. He'll be there for another 20 years. Let me ask you a question, church, right here. What chance does that boy have making it in this world? I guarantee you, the only way he's going to make it is really you people love it on Kyle. I'm just telling you right now, you might have gray hair, but you could be a grandpa to Kyle. Yeah, he's got black skin, but who cares what color his skin is? He's a precious soul that somebody ought to love. And he's got all kinds of people tearing him down. Look at me, kids. What are you doing messing around with these kids that are not a good influence? What's wrong with you? You've got a Christian home and a Christian mom and dad and a great pastor and a youth pastor. And you're messing around with kids that you don't have to mess with. Come on. As a matter of fact, you've got almost an appetite for those things. What's the psalmist say? Look at it. He says, I have hated. I have hated. Oh, you don't like that word, do you? David said it. Look at me. Say the word hated. Hated. Oh, we hate that word. Ooh, that's a bad word. Listen, if you don't hate some things in this life, you'll love the wrong things. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. You see, we need to have an examination of our companions. Listen to me right here. There's some people in churches just like this one got the wrong relationships going on. And you think just because you're hanging around them and you act like you're a Christian, you're not making a difference. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 119, verse number 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts. Parents, grandparents, write this down, please. Jeremiah 15:17, write it down, please. Jeremiah Jeremiah 15:17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Yeah. We need an examination of our associations. Let me go on. Number 4, verse number 6. Look at it. I will wash my hands in innocency. You know what we find here? We need to have an examination, a self-examination of our confession. There's too much sin in our churches today. We are pretentious about our sinning. We're putting on like we're all cleaned up and right. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This world is not getting reached because of our wicked testimony. There's too much sin. There are Christians in churches just like this one. And I don't know this. He's not said a word to me. But there are people, members of churches just like this one, that have wine and they're drinking their wine at nighttime. And they're having their little wine time. You listen to me. Look not upon that stuff. It's wicked and right out of hell. And all your excusing in the world is not going to satisfy God asking you, what's your problem? The Holy Ghost is working on you. I said, the Holy Ghost is working on you, and you know He is. We need to confess our sins. Listen, we think, well, I can go to church. I'll stay away from that guy over there. I hate his guts, but I'm staying away from him. No, you can't. You can't do that. I said, you can't do that. You know what you're supposed to do? Get it right. We need to confess our sins. Look at me. Confess our sins. You know what that means? Tell God what you've done. And we need to examine that. My father taught me, when you sin, stop immediately and get it right with God. That's a good way to live. Amen. I'm saying to you, Isaiah 1 and verse 16 through 18, wash me, make me clean, or wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. And he goes on and he gives this great invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. They be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Thank God. Psalm 51 verses 1 through 4. Write it down, please. I can't take time to read it. But David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Oh, wouldn't it be something if God's people start just confessing their sins? We got too much sinning going on. All the deacons of this church, listen to me. You are held on a short leash. You cannot do what you otherwise would do. If you're a deacon in this church, listen to me, you are on a short leash. You cannot be a reproach to the leadership of this church. You can't do it. I said, you can't do it. You ladies, you can't do it. You can't live and act and dress and walk and behave any old way you want to. You belong to the King. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm saying tonight. You belong to the Lord. You are not your own. You belong to Him. And we need to confess sin to God. I mean, tonight we need to hit the altar and say, God, I've been wicked. I've been rebellious. I've had evil in my heart. Confess our sin. We need an examination of confession. I told you, my wife and I are together all the time, 2 feet. And we drive a large car, but she loves me, so she squeezes as close as she can. I like it. Amen. And I'll tell you something. We get along better when we just keep things open and clean between us. A lot of Christians live in this way with God. You don't want to get this way. You won't be this way with God. Open mine eyes that I may see. Isn't it good when you get it cleaned up? How many know what I'm talking about? Wave at me. Man, you get something cleaned up, buddy. I'm telling you, it's all sitting. The Bible makes sense again. You can sing songs. You don't even have to be goaded to sing. It's all inside when you have confession. But notice verse number 7. There needs to be an examination. Number 7, verse 7, of our witness, that I may publish and then tell. Notice those two words, synonyms, publish, tell. He's talking about his witness. We need an examination of our witness. Listen to me, church. We cannot be mealy-mouthed in our witness. And notice what he says. He says, verse 7, he says, the voice of thanksgiving. How can you not tell somebody that you're saved? Amen? Man, I'm telling you, I'll never spend 1 second in hell. My dad said, he used to say all the time, the closest he's ever going to get to hell is Myers. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm a child of the King. I'm a CHRISTIAN. I'm living for God. I've got the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm on the winning side. And I need to have an example. Right here. What in the world's happened to us? What's happened to us? Hey, we used to give these out all the time. Praise God. Everybody used to get one. You go on bus stops. You go on phone booths. Was there phone booths ever? There's phone, yeah. I used to, listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm going all over this country, 20,000 miles, and I'm telling you, it shocks me. You can't even find gospel tracts in a lot of churches. Can't find a preacher. Can't find them. And my dad used to say, if you ever have a pocket without, you ever have a shirt without a pocket right here, it's a backslider shirt. You got to have a pocket here. Amen. Where are you going to carry your tracts? In your pocketbook? Amen. You got to have a pocket. Listen, you know what? Let's get back to soul winning. Let's get back to being a witness. You say, I don't know how to do it. I'll give you a suggestion how to get in. Get here for bus calling on Saturday morning. Woo! Yep. I'll tell you what, that's a good entry spot for soul winning. Come along. I'm saying examination of witness. I got to stop. I got, how many did I tell you I was going to give you? Eight. All right, here's number six. There needs to be an examination. Verse number eight of our faithfulness. He says, oh, Lord, I love the habitation of thy house, our faithfulness. We live in a day of lame excuses. Man, it's just awful today. Somebody told me last night, a great church I preached in, and somebody told me last night, well, I'm sorry, my sister's not here. She had family show up. So? Who cares if your family? Are you kidding me? Really? Look at me. Really? Here we are. Bema Seat of Christ. Here he is. Nail prints. Really? You had somebody show up. You had somebody show up at the house and you decided, got to stay home. Really? 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 Are you serious? I'm not exaggerating, church. Oh, really? You couldn't go on a Wednesday night. Is that right? Really? I want to tell you something. That judgment seat of Christ is going to be something that's going to terrify me. Really? You couldn't sing because you were perturbed at the song service? When my Holy Spirit was working and I was trying to stir the saints of God and you stood there with a sour face? Really? We didn't have an examination of our faithfulness. I'm not going because I'm tired of that nursery. Those people drive me crazy. Here's one. Listen, a pastor, a long time. We had a baby. We can't go to church. Really? Come on. Where'd the baby come from? Well, the Lord, but I have to protect it from hoof and mouth disease, and I have to protect it from the head lice and worms. Listen, your home is filthy. You know it is. I had to protect it. We start our little baby. Hey, listen, that's not a place to backslide when you have a kid. We had four of them. Guess what? They were in the nursery. Amen. And they liked it. Oh, not my baby. My baby's perfect. Your baby's probably got worms. Well, I know. I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm kidding. But I'm telling you, we need an examination of faithfulness. All right, I'm gonna, how many did I say? Six? Here's seven. Verse number 11 and 12. And I'll just throw this at you. God's teaching us here to have an examination of our steadfastness. Verses 11 and 12, he tells us right there, but as for me, I will walk my integrity, redeem me, be merciful, and my foot standeth in an even place, and the congregation will I be blessed, the Lord. Just examine, are you steadfast? Then when we close with this, we need to examine whether we're in the faith or not. Right. Nobody knows if you're saved in this room. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. Only you know. Right. And you better make sure. Pastor Darren, you've done a lot of funerals where people didn't expect to die. Sudden death. Look at me. If you're not saved, you will wake up in hell forever. Only you know. Examine whether you're in the faith. Father, we want to thank you for this exercise.